In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The weekend before last, I was lucky enough to travel to the Eternal City of Rome. And this was my second visit, the last being in the Jubilee year 2000. Then, as this time, I went through the Holy Door at St. Peter's Basilica. It was a humbling experience to cross over the threshold and ponder the countless other pilgrims who have crossed into Mother Church of the world in search of mercy. My fellow pilgrims and I went quietly first thing on Monday morning to avoid the queues we had seen on the Saturday. The basilica was quiet, with all but the voices of Mass being said in the numerous side altars. Thank you. But then, as is so often does, Facebook got hold of it, and the pictures of us humble Anglicans going through Roman Catholic holy doors somehow goaded one or two of our Roman Catholic friends, who told us that there were to be no prizes for us. We wouldn't be getting any plenary indulgences. So for us, it was just an ordinary door, and by implication, without grace or blessing. So much for the year of mercy. As many of you will know, if you cast your mind back a couple of nights to this All Hallows Eve, it was the 499th anniversary of Dr. Luther nailing his 95 theses to another door in 1517. He was protesting about the abuses and the excesses of the Catholic Church. His Holiness Pope Francis has been in Sweden this week to commemorate the so-called anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, appealing to Catholics and Lutherans to mend history and look with honesty at the past, recognizing error and seeking forgiveness. Now, Luther, of course, had quite a lot to say about indulgences. I rather like number 27. They preach only human doctrines who say that as soon as the money clinks into the money chest, the soul flies out of purgatory. However, he is a little more generous at number 26. The Pope does very well when he grants remission to souls in purgatory, not by the power of the keys, which he does not have, but by way of intercession for them. I'm sure we'd agree with 27, but certainly not at Pusey House with number 26. For surely the power of the keys and interceding for the holy souls in purgatory are essential parts of the Christian life. But enough of this trifling. What we are about this evening is mercy and grace. Mercy and grace for the souls of the departed, and mercy and grace for us who pray for them. The golden-mouthed himself, St. John Chrysostom, tells us, "It would be better to help him as much as possible, not with tears, but with prayers and supplications and offerings. These are not works of purely imaginary effect. It is not by mere chance that we make mention of the dead in the divine mysteries, and that we pray for them by addressing our prayers to the Lamb offered on the altar, who took away the sins of the world. We do so for them to obtain some comfort. It is not for nothing that he who presides at the altar during the celebration of the Holy Mystery proclaims, 'For the sake of all those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and for those who remember them.'" In the Gospel of St. John, we find Jesus speaking to himself, speaking of himself to his disciples in a very particular way. Ego emi, I am. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus tells us that he is the door. He is the way through to the Father. It means that we go into death as he did, to enable us to be taken to the resurrection. In a sense, then, the door of St. Peter's Basilica is holy because of Christ. It is him who sanctified us and the thousands of others who have also gone through. So Ego Emi takes us to the reading that I thought we were going to have this evening. Poor old Lazarus has been dead in the tomb for 4 days. I'm sure you'll remember the story. Martha is clinging to Nicodemus and the man born blind to the idea of Jesus as a miracle worker. They accept the common held Jewish belief that there will be a final resurrection of the dead. They're doing their best, trying to deal with grief and faith as best they can, and no one, of course, up until now, has done much to help them. Jesus in this scene has to wrestle the initiative away from Martha, who is going down a particularly unhelpful track with all the enthusiasm that she can muster. Jesus focuses the mind away from generalities. Of yes, that at the end of time there will be a resurrection. But no, Jesus focuses on his divine person as the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Not it will happen all in good time. It says that it will happen now. And it is the only way. A priest I knew years ago always left off the only way bit at funerals. He didn't want to be exclusive. Well, I'm afraid that Jesus is exclusive. He is particular. The resurrection life that he speaks of is now, current, present. What he is saying isn't just about the other side of death. He says that this side of death, we live in the Spirit. And the one who believes and lives in the Spirit now will then live on the other side of physical death. This is quite a lot to take on board. And dear Martha still doesn't get it. She goes on telling Jesus she believed all along. We often do this ourselves. We pretend to know. We pretend that our faith is solid. We pretend that we know all about life and we know all about death. All Souls tells us very powerfully that we don't. The only way that we find hope when we pray for our dead is through our clinging to what Christ does in his sacrificial death. Here, he is the resurrection and the life. In this place, now. This is quite simply why we offer Mass for the dead. Yesterday we thank God for all those who have already been gathered to him. They are models for our contemplation, and we pray to them to intercede for us. This celebration cannot help but make clear to all the faithful that God's mercy is necessary in order to be saved. The contemplation then of the heavenly Jerusalem, where the saints sing endlessly the praise of God, to which we travel on the road of truth, leads us naturally and spontaneously to today, the day when we pray for the departed. The French Cistercian Commissioned Book of Hymns tells us, "They take heart when they behold the face of God, those who ever sought peace. Gather us together in the Spirit, O risen Lord, Master of life. You know the Father. Guide all those whom you love into his presence. You live with the Father. Keep all those whom you love in your company. And at the name of the Father, all those whom you love are born to live." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.